Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Buchanan misses. Cleveland has the rebound. He lays it off for Nigel Pack. Pack dribbles into the lane. Up for Omer and a slam dunk. Nigel Pack with a big smile on his face. And Omer slams it home. I think Nigel Pack is enjoying being the distributor tonight as much as anything.
101-60, the victory on opening night for the University of Miami. So a good way to start the year. And we say hello to University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. Coach L, congrats, and welcome back to the Hurricane Hotline.
Hi, Josie. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, it was a good way to start the season last night.
Yeah, what were your overall thoughts? My initial thought was I was watching Speed Racer. You guys, your team got up and down the floor in a hurry.
Well, you know, as we've talked about these last few seasons, we're not very tall. And you got to take advantage of your strengths. And one of our strengths is playing in the open court. Last season, KenPom, who has a website that ranks every category in basketball, and in transition efficiency and points, we ranked number one in both categories. We were the most efficient team, and we scored the most points. So we want to continue in that direction, Joe. And I think our fans enjoy our style of basketball. And I thought we had a really nice turnout of students last night. And hopefully this Friday when we play the University of Central Florida, we'll be raising the Final Four banner about 20 minutes before tip-off, and hopefully we'll have a sellout crowd on hand to watch our guys play. Yeah. It should be a great game.
Yeah, I thought the crowd was good for the opening night game, very engaged. I thought your team played again with a lot of joy. I mentioned this to you earlier today that one of the things I really enjoy watching and it's just the way your team handles communication. The way you speak with your team, the way they talk to you during the game, just seems to me that it's very analytical. There's never any finger pointing or anything like that, and there are always a lot of smiles. So I think you guys are mastering that communication part of the game.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a very fine compliment. And, you know, a lot of things happen during the course of a game, and if you get all emotional and you're screaming at your players, you know, oftentimes the message is not received very well. In fact, they don't receive the message. They're hung up on the way the message was delivered. So we try to be very poised throughout the game, calm, and send very, very simple messages. Like last night, we wanted Bensley Joseph to really pressure the other team's point guard. NJIT had a freshman point guard, very, very good player. He won three state championships as a high school player. But we wanted to keep pressure on him. We did. Bensley did a great job. And then they had a couple of outstanding three-point shooters at the wing, and we had to figure out who was going to guard who. And so we told Nigel Pack and Wugga Poplar, you know, who was going to match up with who to start the game, but told them also in all likelihood they were going to have to switch at some point during the game, and they did. Nigel started on Hess, and then Wugga went to him. And that gives Hess, you know, two different kinds of defenders. Nigel is small and quick and, you know, chased him down. But Wugger's a little more athletic, a little bigger and stronger. So where my staff and I are trying to make constant changes in the strategy, but very, very simple and subtle changes.
When you make those changes, does it make coaching easier or more enjoyable when you say to Nigel or Wugga or Norchad, we have to do, or you have to do X, Y, and Z, and you get a very salient response from them?
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. We don't give them X, Y, and Z. We give them X. Can't give them too many things to think about, Joe. You give them three things to think about, they forget two of them anyway, so we just focus on the one. But that's the very simple idea, you know. When Michael Nowako is in practice, I'm constantly reminding him that in the college game, officials are taught to look for very specific things. And if he does the things that I'm seeing in practice, we're trying to correct that habit right now, but the person who has to correct it is him. We can remind him, can talk to him about it, we can give him the right strategy, but he has to correct it. And the first thing that happened, Michael went into the game, he gets 2 points, looking good, and then he tries to post up, they call for a foul, and then he's a little late in helping and pushes the guy, gets called for another foul. So if you use your hands instead of your feet, you're going to end up in foul trouble. And we had ended up with Michael Nowako and Norshad Omir on the bench in the first half. We ended up going with A.J. Casey and Matthew Cleveland as our 4-5 men. And thank goodness both of those guys played extremely well. And they helped us build a 20-point lead at the half.
Matt Cleveland, 16 points, 10 rebounds, hit the boards really hard. The intangible that I noticed was it seemed to me that he very much enjoyed his debut, enjoyed playing with his new teammates. What are your thoughts on how he's been incorporated into your program and maybe some of your expectations going forward?
Oh, he got off to a great start. He almost had a double-double at halftime. I think he had 11 points and 9 rebounds. So, you know, he's got some big shoes to fill. Everybody loved playing with and admired the job that Jordan Miller did. And so when Jordan graduated and moved on to the NBA, we were looking for someone who had some of those same qualities. You're not going to find a clone. Guys, the players are all different. They all have slightly different games. But you're looking for some similarities that fit our team culture. And one of the things we were looking for in a player was someone who was fast and athletic, could rebound, could shoot the three, and was a real competitor and was very unselfish. That's a lot of qualities to look for in one guy. But we felt like Matthew Cleveland had those qualities. So we went after him very hard. We actually, Coach Courtney told me, okay, Coach, we got to go to Tallahassee to recruit Matthew Cleveland. I said, what? So we went not just once, but twice, and it worked. And Matthew's here, and I think he's off to a great start.
I thought it was interesting to note Wugga Poplar, who you've spoken about during the offseason, really his first game as maybe as a centerpiece player. He gets a career-high 21 points. He makes 5 three-pointers, just one short of his career-high from three-point range. And then when the game was over, 10 minutes after the game, I look, and he's out on the floor shooting again.
Yeah. Well, hey, Joe, you need to tell me that night so I can send him home to rest.
I was going to say.
he works so hard. I keep telling him, you're going to get injured because – your muscles don't have a chance to recover. And he keeps pushing himself harder and harder. He's an NBA prospect, but no one in the NBA is evaluating someone who's hurt and sitting on the bench. So, but Wooga, 21 points last night, that will not be the last time he gets a career high. I can promise you that. He's got all the tools to score at a very, very high level. From three-point range, from two-point range with pull-up jumpers, driving layups, fast break layups, and he's an excellent free throw shooter. And on this Friday, Joe, we got to get to the foul line because that's got to be a big part of our strategy come Friday night.
Right. Yep. Norchad, you talked about the foul trouble he got into, but he an extra dimension this year, stepping back, making a couple of threes, and then also the way he and Matt Cleveland handle the ball in the break, man alive, they get down the floor in a hurry. And when Norchad's coming at you full speed, that's pretty pretty interesting to watch.
Well, again, against a team like NJIT, we felt like one of the advantages we have is with Norchad and Matthew Cleveland's ability to rebound and go with the ball. I think some nights that'll be very effective. Some nights the opponent is very, very good at attacking the ball handler, and that'll be a challenge for them. So they're going to have to be very selective and smart about their ball handling and passing in transition. But we're very, very excited about what they did last night.
College basketball got underway. There was one upset with Michigan State, but what are your thoughts this season of the ACC, some of the challenges there? The narrative about the ACC the last couple of years, I think it's been a little bit unfair. What are your thoughts on where the league is going to be this season?
Well, I think the league is going to be much improved, and it starts with last night. The league went 14-0, I think, for the first time, and we're the only league that went undefeated. So I think we're getting off to a good start. We've got a lot of very challenging games in these next 2 weeks. If you look at our schedule, we have Central Florida, a team that in the last 2 years, Joe, you've been there courtside, 1-point games. You know, do you remember how the game ended last year?
Yeah, it was they were going to inbound the ball, right? And then didn't he step out of bounds or so, or miss the shot? But it came down to the last play.
We were up 2 with about 7 seconds to go. We missed a shot. They ran a fast break and had a dunk.
Oh, that's right.
We fouled the player on the dunk with 1.5 seconds to go. He had 2 shots at the foul line to tie the game and put it into overtime. He made the first. And he missed the second, but the ball got knocked out of bounds off of us. So it was Central Florida's ball with 1.5 seconds to go. And they could hit a 2 or a 3 to win the game. Instead, I called the referee over and told him, hey, the clock never started. Can you check and see how long it took and reduce the amount of time by how long the ball was inbounds, because there was a fight for the rebound before it went out of bounds. So the referee got his stopwatch out, looked at the video, and instead of them inbounding the ball, the game was over.
Right.
The 1.5 seconds had elapsed while the clock had not started, and so we walked out of there with the win. Right. The year before, Central Florida came up to our place and shot lights out and beat us at home, one of the few losses. So, this team and our team matches up very well. It should be a great and exciting game. And then after that, Joe, we've got Florida International, a local school that we know very well. And then we travel to the Bahamas. We play Georgia, an SEC team, and then either Providence, a Big East team, or Kansas State, a Big 12 team. We return and go to Kentucky, another SEC team. So the schedule is very, very tough right now.
Yeah. You were picked in the, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, they had the ACC preseason press gathering and all of that, and highest that you've ever been picked in the ACC for the preseason, pick number two.
Yeah, well, we were picked 12 2 years ago, and we went to the Elite Eight. Last year we were picked fourth, so I'm not sure how much those preseason polls really are accurate. I mean, they just don't know. I think the reason they have a preseason poll is so the media can generate some interest in the season, and they always pick the teams that finished strong the year before. Last year, who was picked to win the league and win the national championship?
Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah,
and last year they didn't make the NCAA tournament. So preseason polls don't really mean much. It's how, first of all, how well you play, how healthy you stay, and how you match up with the opponent, when you play them, where you play them.
I asked you about Norchad a moment ago. Is he even stronger this year? Because last year in games, one of the things about Norchad, when it comes to rebounding that I noticed, maybe early in the game, you know, teams would be cozy up with him, but maybe to use a football analogy, by the end of the game, a big fullback nobody wants to tackle. By the end of the game, nobody wanted to rebound with him.
Well, he's relentless. I said he's probably the best rebounder in the country. He might not lead the country in rebounding, but I don't think anybody goes after the ball as hard as he does. And he's just so strong and athletic, long arms, great jumping ability. But it's his tenacious attitude. So he's got a gift. He really loves to rebound.
And you have a new point guard this season, sort of. Bensley Joseph always plays with a great smile on his face. He had 9 points in the opening night game, but I thought he does what he does. He did what he does best, real pest on defense, and then handled the ball very well.
Yeah, his on-ball defense is going to be a huge key for us all season long, and his ability to stretch the defense by nailing timely threes. He's an excellent three-point shooter. I've encouraged him to look for that shot more. I think our team is sharing the ball well enough that he's going to get some excellent looks. And his ball handling, sharing the ball, guarding the ball, and nailing threes, big, big part of his game, which makes us a much better team.
I do want to acknowledge, and you mentioned it a couple times, you are going to have a Final Four banner inside the Watsco Center. You have an Elite Eight banner. We've got them all. Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and now a Final Four banner will be hanging inside the Watsco Center, which I think, first of all, is mind-boggling and incredible. And I'm still, I think, soaring over the fact that you went to the Final Four a year ago. But what will that mean to your program now that people can look up there and see a Final Four banner?
Well, first of all, I hope they come and watch us raise the banner on Friday night. They need to get there early. It'll be probably 20 minutes before tip-off. Tip-off is 7 o'clock, so people get there at 6:40. They'll have a chance to watch us raise the banner. And basically, Joe, what it means is over the last 12 years since my staff and I arrived here in Coral Gables, we've tried to build a tradition that our fans will love, that our students will love, and get into the Sweet 16, then get into the Elite Eight, then get to the Final Four. We just keep heading in the right direction, and hopefully this will be another great season.
Was it different for you in the off season, talking with recruits or transfer portal, potential transfer portal players? Did they recognize the Final Four run?
Yeah, the challenge for me and my staff is to find the players that fit our culture. And by that, I mean, in Matthew Cleveland, can he fill the role of a Jordan Miller? Right? Who can fill Isaiah Wong's role? Because when a player graduates and moves on, you got to find someone who's at least as good or better in order to be good again the following year. So it's a challenge, You don't want to make mistakes. You don't want to sign a transfer who comes with the wrong attitude. All he cares about is his points. And fortunately, we've had great transfers.
You have such great chemistry on your team. I think as we kind of part of the conversation we started with, the chemistry on your team is just so good that I would imagine adding extra parts, that is the challenge, because you have such great chemistry with your squad.
Well, one of the things we've been able to do over the years is help players improve. So a guy like Isaiah Wong, who, you know, was a decent freshman, played some, but, you know, the difference in him from his freshman year to the senior year is, you know, astronomical. His improvement was incredible. He went from being a decent sub to ACC Player of the Year. So we're hoping that progress will be made by this year's sophomores, Christian Watson and A.J. Casey. They've taken another step forward. And then also our freshman, Keyshawn George, who played last night, thought he did a respectable job. Michael Nwoko, who I thought did a really good job in parts of the game. And then Paul Jobe, who got in towards the end and did a pretty nice job. So we've got to keep helping the younger guys improve. We got to rely very heavily on the upperclassmen being able to deliver the big punch. Those upperclassmen have a little bit more responsibility than the younger guys.
And then up next, UCF. And this is going to be a track meet.
They're as fast as they come. I don't know. Do you remember what Darius Johnson did last year?
He got hot in the second half.
Oh, he did. He was on fire.
Yeah.
He had either 23 or 24 points. He was nailing threes, driving the ball to the basket. He's a 6'2 point guard, very strong, very aggressive. Heck of a defensive player, gets a lot of steals. So that'll be a challenge for Bensley Joseph. And then they've got three real big guys. Omar Payne, who's a transfer, he's 6'10. And then they got Diallo, I think he's like 7'1. And another big guy who's huge as well. So three big men that they can rotate and keep someone really big guarding the basket makes it a real challenge. So hopefully, you know, we'll play well again and hopefully come away with a victory. But we're going to need a really good home crowd cheering us on, because I'm telling you, Joe, the last 2 years we played this team, they've been a battle from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. They're in the Big 12 now as well, so I imagine a win maybe counts for more, right? Because they're a Big 12 Power 5 team.
Yeah, everybody's saying the Big 12 is the best conference every year, and they've kind of stolen the ACC's mantle. And We've got to beat teams like that and establish the ACC early on in the season again.
All right, Coach. Well, I look forward to it. Good start on opening night. Great balance. A lot of fun. Went up and down the floor. Thanks for joining us on the show. And looking forward to lots of conversations this season.
Thanks, Joe. And as always, go Canes.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga joining us on the show. On Friday night, Hurricanes will take on UCF, 7 o'clock tip-off. We'll have the game for you on our alternate station. You move the radio dial a little bit to the right, over to AM 790, 6:30 p.m. pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off. We'll be on Waxy 790, so just a little twist to the right. And I'm hoping for a fast game because I have a flight to Tallahassee after the basketball game. So you want to talk about dashing and getting up and down the floor, that's what they'll be doing. I'll be dashing to the airport as soon as the game is over. Perhaps you want to dash to Williamson Buick GMC and get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Buick or GMC from Williamson. New Buicks and GMCs are arriving daily at Williamson, so this means they are going to absolutely have the new Buick or GMC that you were looking for. On the Buick side, how about an Encore, an Envision, an Enclave, and more? These Buicks are just beautiful to look at. You'll walk into the dealership and your eyes will be spinning. How about on the GMC side? A Yukon, plenty of room for the entire family. The new Yukon allows you to ride in style and comfort. Makes a bold statement wherever you go. You want to cover work and cover play? How about the GMC Canyon or the Sierra? These trucks feature bold styling, the latest technology, all with the toughness to get the job done. To get your new Buick or GMC, visit Williamson's beautiful facility, conveniently located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or you can go online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Nobody understands the customer better than Ed Williamson. I'm not sure that anybody's a bigger Hurricane basketball fan than Ed Williamson and his lovely wife, Carol. So you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience car buying like never before at Miami's premier luxury dealership, Williamson Buick GMC. Williamson is Miami.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.